Rocktown is reading on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Dr. Kathy Ruggerberg has a reading project on her hands. We'll hear about it today on Scribble. That's an all-encompassing title, Rocktown Reads. What does it mean?
Rocktown Reads is a way to promote the love of reading for all citizens, community members, parents, students, everyone in our Rock Island, Milan area to promote the love of reading.
Is this strictly a school project?
It is not. We are fortunate to have many partners in this wonderful initiative started this summer. We partner with the Rock Island Public Library, of course, the Rock Island Milan School District, the Bi-State Literacy Council, Spring Forward Learning Center, Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center, WQPT, and the Rock Island Milan Education Foundation.
How'd we get left out of that?
I don't know.
We'd welcome you to join us. You're now a partner today.
Well, we can push it a little, yeah.
We'll add you to our list.
This began as a strictly summer project, right?
It did, yes. The various members of most of these organizations had gotten together and said, hey, how do we make sure that our students lessen the summer learning loss over summer? It's so important when school is out that we continue to share with students the importance of learning and growing and enriching their lives throughout. So all these partners got together and said, hey, how could we really try to kick off a good, fun, motivating way to help students and families continue to read over the summer?
And it was working so well that you decided to continue it?
You got it.
How did you know it was working?
So over the summer, the promotion was hashtag Rocktown Reads. So the true promotion was nothing more than saying, hey, show us your reading. So show us your books. So the promotion really focused on having people take pictures of themselves or others reading books over the summer, adding that hashtag Rocktown Reads to the photo and uploading it on any social media venue, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc., so that they could then be entered into a prize that we had a weekly drawing at the end of each week. At the end of the summer, then, the prize winner could receive a year's worth of Happy Joe's pizza. So we tried to tie it with some fun motivational things, but truly the point was to enhance the love of reading through a fun, entertaining way for the community.
Bribery always works.
That's right. That's right.
Are other districts doing the same thing?
Yes. So in this discovery, Monta Ponsetto, Executive Director for the Rock Island Milan Education Foundation, happened to have a chance to meet with Jane O'Brien, the Moline Coal Valley Foundation Executive Director, and Jane shared Moline Reads. And Monta came to us and said, hey, there's this great thing going on with Moline Reads. And we said, absolutely, we're doing it as well. So it just happened that multiple communities were always also putting a focus on reading. So the foundations brought the partners together, and we've been continuing to promote the love of reading through various activities. So it isn't about creating more, but simply pushing and supporting one another in a collaborative, competitive nature to say, hey, it's important for everyone to read no matter what school district you're involved in.
I don't want to be the cynic here, but if I posed holding a book and entered it, what guarantee is there that I read this book?
There isn't a guarantee. But you know what? You pick the book up, and that's the first start.
It seems to me that getting people to read books in this social media age is a real chore. And, you know, I'm a radical on this. I would not, if I were raising children now, I wouldn't let them anywhere near an iPhone or a computer until they were accustomed to reading books. But that's not, I see children, very small children, playing with iPhones all the time. How can you pull them away from that into an old-fashioned page-turning book?
Sure. What we want to do is find out what they love, whether that's about trains, whether that's a special cartoon character, whether it's a superhero, whatever it is, we want to grasp their motivation for what they love and try to capture them that way through reading. Ideally, we'd love to have students be reading books all the time every day, but if they're reading, whether it's on screen or on paper, that's the important part, is that we push that love of reading and that they find those ways to find the details that they enjoy to read, also information for effective research in reading. We want students, families, everyone in the community to read, whether it's paper or online. There's all kinds of research coming out about the use of online. Recent studies talking about the importance still of having that book in your hands. It's really a personal preference. We aren't going to say to a child or to a family that if you're reading something on your iPad, that's better or worse than reading it in hardcover. We want to promote the love of reading in whatever fashion they choose.
And whatever kind of reading. Let me play my mother, the English teacher, for a while.
Sure.
I had to read science fiction under the bed covers at night because she did not approve.
Sure.
Is it more important to get kids interested in reading, or shouldn't you try to steer them toward, quote-unquote, great literature?
My first thought would be to steer them towards reading, period. We want them to love reading in whatever it is that they're going to grasp a hold of. Once we have that love of reading, then it's easier to promote a certain type of reading. In the educational setting, of course, we want students to read what we used to call fiction and nonfiction. Now, with the new standards, we have multiple phrases for that, but we want students to read literature-rich, award-winning literature books, but we also want them to read informational texts so they understand how to read directions to complete a task, whether that's an auto book to help fix something in their car, a book on how to cook a recipe, things of that nature. We want to give the students and the children the skills they need to read whatever is in front of them.
You mentioned families. Are adults in this competition too, or is it just kids?
Absolutely. The summer competition, it was anybody could enter. As long as you had a picture of you reading a book and you put hashtag Rocktown Reads, you were entered into that drawing.
Roll, I'll take your picture if you'll take mine.
Excellent.
Did you, what level did you get the most response from? Grade school, high school,
adults? I would say for the most part, I would say adults and more of the younger elementary level of students. We have now a push since the summer went so well. Now all of our individual schools in the Rock Island Milan School District are also holding their own informational sessions, their own motivational tricks with their students to promote a love of reading at all levels.
Mm-hmm. There's something about reading. That was one of the most profound shifts, I think, in human experience, when suddenly you devised a system where you could look at symbols, pick out words, draw concepts, and so on. And to this day, if the old saying, I know it's true, I read it, but there's a lot of stuff now that is not true that people are reading, and we're beginning to be deeply worried about the involvement of everyone with social media, where it's a Wild West show. You have no idea what's going on out there. And I guess that's why old people like me are deeply suspicious of social media. But, when I look at the range of things in books, I guess it's not much better.
Well, sure, we've gone from, books that were on the banned list and how that those certain books weren't right for students or for children to read, to getting them off the banned list, to different things. So as the world of technology continues to evolve, that's always something we're trying to keep a chess move ahead of. It's nearly impossible. Social media can definitely be a very challenging avenue for people to express. It's instantaneous. What we want to make sure we're doing in the educational setting is teaching students the right way to not just read something and believe it, but check more into it. Make sure you're finding facts about it, doing your own research, and not just reading the first thing that pops up on your screen.
That is the fundamental thing in education. You go through a series of subjects and books and so on, But the ultimate goal is to teach you to think and to think critically.
Absolutely.
And that no one wants to do.
You know, it's interesting. Just like if you can capture the love of reading in whatever the child's interested in, same thing. If you can capture and have them begin to debate and force them to think critically by using probing questions instead of surface-level questions, that's something as a district we're working diligently with the administration and with our teachers, is the types of questions that we ask our children so that they do probe further into something instead of a surface-level yes-no. It's right there. That must be the answer. You know, I come from a family that was in the media, so I can say that there was a time, whether it was social media or just the newsprint, which is my family involvement, was the newspaper industry. If it bleeds, it reads. And so sometimes what happened on the front page wasn't accurate either 50 years ago. It's about reading into that and using some of those same skills on the screen as you would need to use on paper.
How does your mother react to this all?
Well, I'm thinking, I just flashed back to graduate school in the late 50s, and I don't remember who it was, probably it was Scott Forsman, came out with an edition of Moby Dick minus the inner chapters, just to get kids, because it's the inner chapters that are the blubber
meat
of the book,
yeah.
But it is the real meat of the book.
That's right.
But just in order to get, and it divided the graduate faculty in English in half.
I bet.
Half of them said, just get them to read Moby Dick. Otherwise, if they leave the inner chapters in, most of them aren't going to read it. But the others said, no, you cannot do that. I know you have a quarrel with modernizing Shakespeare in the same way.
You bet.
Where do you stand on that?
You know,
you're going to offend one of us.
Absolutely. Again, it's about whatever captures the person to read. And so I'm sure...
It's okay to do Moby Dick without the inner chapters then.
I think it's back to the purpose. What's the intent? Is the intent for someone to start and finish a book? Is it teaching them the persistence of reading and teaching them the length of duration of the reading? Is it about gaining the synopsis? It all goes back to the purpose. I know many people years and years ago, prior to even my time, many people read the last chapter or the last page of a book before they started the first page of the book. That is what might have captured them to even open the front cover of the book. So whatever it is that's going to capture them, it's our jobs as educators to keep them engaged. No piece of paper and no screen is going to keep someone engaged. It's our job as educators to find the strategies to get them to read those inner chapters and to get them to understand the meat of the text in which they're reading and why it's so important that they know that.
Yeah, but if you take out all the stuff about the whaling industry, you're going to lose a lot of important information.
That's true. And some will find that very beneficial, and others will say it's not worth their time.
It prepares you for a job in the whaling industry.
You're right. And there are people that need that.
So what indications do you have that you have creative readers with this program?
You know, I don't think we've created readers. We're just trying to help push the love of reading. We may have created readers that weren't reading before, and if that's the case, we're all celebrating. That's wonderful.
Well, I mean, isn't that really what you want? I mean, the real readers, I think, catch the bug early.
Right.
You know, third, fourth, and even or fifth grade.
Yep.
And you don't have to worry about them, but it's the other people that I've never read a book, you know.
Right.
That you want to reach.
Yeah. So the purpose of this wasn't to capture as many readers as we could. The purpose was initially just celebrating the love of reading and showing everybody, whether it was local radio celebrities, our local mayors, local sports athletes, whoever our students would gravitate toward and say, oh my gosh, they're reading? That's really cool to do. I should read too. However we can capture and engage them in reading to help them with that love of reading, that ultimately with reading you are going to prosper in all other areas.
I think the key to it is to encounter a book early on that changes your life. If you read, if the first book you read is a grabber, it just takes you by the scruff of the neck and pulls you into a world that you don't know, you'll want to do that again. You'll want to do that again and again and again. It's that first encounter, those early encounters, mm-hmm. that seem to make all the difference. And I wonder how that's done. Mm-hmm. I puzzle about that all the time. And what what can you hand a kid that will make him interested? I remember once, I always got up late because I was working in television late. I gave my son a picture book on the Iliad. I woke up one morning to hear them playing outside my window. I'll be Nestor, you be Achilles, you be so-and-so.
That's
and
great.
I thought, well, at least something seeped through there.
That's right. That's great. I think you bring up a great point. It begins in home.
Yeah.
Whether it's reading to the child that in the womb, but as soon as that child is born, it is so extremely important to be reading to that child and sharing with them the love and the experience. We've adopted a new language arts curriculum as a district because many times you can teach a child to read, but they truly won't understand it if they don't have experiences that will help them grab a hold of those words that are on that screen or that piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And so in doing so, the push for beginning at birth, United Way has a wonderful program called Born Learning that we as a district, Earl Hansen is one of the housing schools in our district for this Born Learning program. It's an opportunity for parents to take classes that assist in how do you teach your children from birth to gain the skills they need to develop the love of reading or just all the skills needed as they enter the educational setting so that they are set up to be much more successful than they may have been otherwise.
Yeah. I once taught a class as a guest teacher, I forget, fourth, fifth grade, something like that. I mentioned Lord of the Rings. They'd all read it. And I said, in a way, that's good, but come back to it 10 years later. You will find a different book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what the right age is for any particular book, but Tweet can tell you.
I think I read in the paper a week or so ago that you and Moline have some kind of contest.
Yes.
That centers around the upcoming football game.
Excellent. Yes, Jane O'Brien and Monta Ponsetto came together and brought many of the rest of the partners together and said, hey, what if Moline Reads and Rocktown Reads did a friendly competition? And we said, oh my goodness, we happen to have a football game coming up housed at Rocky. And so October 5th, we have a friendly competition to promote the continued love of reading within our community. October 5th football game between Rocky and Moline, housed at Rocky. Gates open at 5:00, and we are encouraging the community to have a collaborative competition to bring new books that we can donate to our students or funds that we can use to purchase new books through both the Rock Island Milan Education Foundation and the Moline Education Foundation to help support the continued work of the love of reading.
Do you have to wear pads and cleats?
I might have to, depending on how strict the competition gets. But we will have tables at each gate entrance. Moline will have a table and Rock Island will have a table. I have provided you guys some examples. We'd love to have you assist in the Rocktown Reads push, a way to try to get the publicity out there. We want to encourage all students to read, but this is still a competition. So I've provided you guys with some Rocktown Read stickers and some Rocktown Read tattoos to help pass out to anybody you see.
So anybody going to the game ought to bring one book, or can they bring several?
You can bring as many books as you'd like. You can bring as many dollars as you'd like.
What is the nature of the competition? I mean, who wins? How do they win?
So it's who raises the most or who donates the most books. So every quarter, the plan is that we would have the announcers share the updated status. Moline has raised this much money and donated this many books. Rock Island Milan has donated this many books and raised this much money. So we can try to promote a friendly competition.
So is it going beyond the game?
Yes. So from there, then the foundations will work with the school districts to decide the best way to distribute those books or the best way to use the funds to help purchase additional books.
Yeah. So that's this coming Friday.
October 5th. Yes.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. It's hard to know where your attention should go.
I know it.
But that's interesting. It never used to be like this. It used to be that you went to school, you got your books, and you learned to read, and that's that. But now you must involve every means at your disposal to try to lure people into reading. That is a heck of a change.
It is. It's a challenge. We have a lot that we're competing against. You know, we have students in our school year for 170-some days a school year, 6 hours a day. That's a lot of time they aren't in the classroom. We want them to experience and know and understand that learning happens outside of the classroom just as it happens in the classroom.
Yeah, well, it's I certainly wish you all success in this because
thank you.
Anything that can encourage people to read is important. Would you suggest any books for them, for kids to have as a first book to read, Lowell?
I would read Winnie the Pooh. When I was in college, my summer jobs was working in Glacier National Park, and we had every afternoon, we read a chapter of Winnie the Pooh together.
Excellent.
50 of us.
That's great.
And it is wonderful to go back to some of those books. Or Alice in Wonderland, now it would be a different book than you remember it back in third or fourth grade.
That's true.
That's great.
It is amazing. I remember reading S.J. Perlman in college and laughing and laughing. I picked up the same book 20 years ago and found I had missed half of the jokes in the book.
Right.
It's, you know, with age comes right. more understanding,
Absolutely.
More experience.
And with experience comes a different lens you're reading in.
Yeah.
We would strongly encourage everyone to sign up at the Rock Island Public Library. September was Library Card Sign-Up Month, but I know they're willing to accept anybody to sign up at any time. And check their website as well. There's so many wonderful opportunities that the Rock Island Public Library provides to promote reading. As well.
Well, Kathy, if you are an example of the enthusiasm behind this program, it cannot fail.
Wonderful. We have a wonderful support network.
Dr. Kathy Ruggerberg talking about Rocktown Reads, and of course, the big football game is coming up on Friday, October 5th. That's the showdown. So be there with your book and your bucks. And with that, we will take a break and come back to the book bag. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you all.
Well, it sounds as if they're going to have a big time on Friday.
Well, if all of you who intend to go to the game will bring your books or your bucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no law against bringing books and bucks.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So you can contribute. And that's a worthy cause. It really is. Anything we can do to promote reading, boy, let's do it. Because reading is such a special joy. And it just, you'd hate to think anyone is cut out of that.
Right.
Talking about books, though, reading, and I think of banned books. One of the banned books that was an absolute scandal back in the 50s was Lolita by Nabokov. It was banned in Europe in 1955, and pirated copies were brought to this country. It was finally published in 1958. It was a story about a pedophile, a man who had kidnapped a young girl of 12, kept her for 2 years, and the emphasis on the story is all about him. It's all about his anxieties, his guilt, his fascination and everything, and Lolita was just kind of overlooked. There now is a book out called The Real Lolita, The Kidnapping of Sally Horner and the Novel That Scandalized the World by Sarah Weinman. In the novel itself, there is a reference to this. Now, what she demonstrates is that Nabokov had started on Lolita earlier, and then later on he heard about this case where a man had kidnapped an 11-year-old girl, kept her for 2 years before she got free. And in the book, Humbert, who is the central figure, says, "Had I done to Dolly perhaps what Frank LaSalle, a 50-year-old mechanic, had done to 11-year-old Sally in 1948? Given our awareness of pedophilia these days, it is amazing to think that back in the late 50s, a novel about a pedophile was not only popular but greeted with great acclaim. There were some people who were absolutely revolted by it, but the public bought this book in great numbers.
They did.
Yeah, and it was, Nabokov is a perfect stylist. He is a great writer. There is absolutely no denying that. He really knows how to put words together. And in all of his subsequent books, he has demonstrated that. But this was a scandal, and there was a contention that he had designed the story after the case of this young Sally Horner. But apparently it was one of those coincidences. But no question about it, he not only later learned about it, but he mentioned it in the course of his book. The interesting thing about it is that when Sally Horner was finally rescued, she died shortly after that in an automobile crash at the age of 15. And in Lolita dies in childbirth later on. That Humbert goes back to visit with her after she is married and pregnant, but then she does not last very long either. There are interesting parallels between the terrible actual case and the fictional story of Lolita. But it's all been put together by Sarah Weinman in The Real Lolita, The Kidnapping of Sally Horner and the Novel That Scandalized the World. May have scandalized it, but it certainly made a lot of money.
One of the spinoffs from that, and I can't remember the woman's name, but she wrote a book called Reading Lolita in Tehran.
I've heard of that book, but I know nothing.
And I've
about
read
it,
and I cannot remember her name. But it is, you know, that's what Lolita is, one of those books that captured people's imaginations, and it's had more spinoffs than that. I mean, it has influenced a lot of literary works.
Yeah, and it's one of those amazing things that a book like that. Nowadays, I don't think anybody would want to publish it. I don't know. That's not true, because you publish all sorts of things now. Nothing is off the table. But it is an interesting parallel with a real-life criminal story in this age when we are all kind of stunned about the scope of pedophilia and how it has infected so many different corners of the world, and most spectacularly the Catholic Church, which has terrible problems dealing with that. But, you might want to check this out. If you're interested, if you have, I won't say a morbid interest, but if you want to look at this a little further, Sarah Weinman's book might be worth examining. The Real Lolita. Not a pleasant story, but a fascinating one. Not all books are pleasant, are they?
No, they aren't. Well, Joseph Wood Crouch made an interesting statement once in an essay he taught. He said, all literature which deserves its name has a happy ending, meaning the ending fits, not that it's necessarily pleasant.
Well, I guess
Hamlet ends, fits, right?
That's true.
We don't necessarily like it.
And we have ended our expedition today. I'm Don Witt with Roll Tweet. Thank you for joining us, and of course, we'll be back for more. And we hope you will, too, on the next edition of Scribble.